Diane Finisterre. Who Will Hold My Hand, dedicated to Jane Finisterre and Eddie Ellis. According to AARP, in 2020, 53 million Americans were unpaid caregivers to family members, up 5 million since 2016. One in three Americans today will need long-term care after the age of 65. And with 10,000 Americans turning 65 every day as the baby boomers age, the number of unpaid family caregivers will only increase. How can we prepare for this need as a society and as individuals? What can be done to not just meet the needs of those we love, but also grow into the best caregivers we can be for ourselves and our loved ones? When I started in long-term care insurance business in 1997, I had personal motivation. My former mother-in-law and father-in-law were on the precipice of needing care and lots of it. Now, with more than 20 years in long-term care insurance, the biggest advantage for me personally as a caregiver and for my clients is, without a doubt, the fact that long-term care insurance reduces the emotional burden, guilt, and sometimes debilitating stress that comes with caring for a spouse and/or family member or members. It's quite a juggling act and a big ask to become the unpaid caregiver in a family because you don't know what the sacrifice will be nor the expectations. When one becomes the unpaid caregiver, it's usually an assumed role. The caregiver does the job out of love. In my work, I collaborate with the senior industry professionals as well as professional and non-professional family caregivers to offer free Giving the Care Back to the Caregiver classes and seminars in the community. I noticed patterns of behavior and similar emotions I had experienced when I had been a caregiver myself. By conducting these classes, I observed and identified with two distinct behaviors found in the psychology behind caregiving: the theory of elasticity and the imposter syndrome. The theory of elasticity assumes that humans are like rubber bands and that we stretch ourselves. We grow, and as we stretch ourselves, we grow even more. Yet, we desire to be what we once were. We know there is a new normal, but the old normal is what we seek because that was and still may be our comfort zone. Like a rubber band, we reshape to what we were originally, though we might have a few stretch marks. Our elasticity is what's being tested when we are thrown into situations that we're not prepared for, like when many of us, let's say 50 million in fact, are thrust into unpaid caregiving. We begin this journey by flying by the seat of our pants, spearheading the challenge, and synthesizing information and resources to become the unofficial, official, in quotes, chief communicator in all family matters relating to the member needing care. Often, a family member's evaluation of the caregiver's performance skills are subjective, and unsolicited opinions are not helpful and create stress. Not all unpaid caregivers are resilient enough to withstand the judgment of their loved ones. This scrutiny can lead to imposter syndrome. This is when the caregiver doubts themselves or, worse yet, feels defeated. The caregiver pretends to know and fully grasp the physical, mental, financial, and medical situation of the loved one they are caring for and hopes no one will notice their performance. Most will just put on a mask when they become caregivers, a mask of confidence and competence. Needles, baths, Hoyer lifts, rollators, wound vacs, wheelchairs, medication management, infusions, meal preps, wigs, shaving, sometimes all in the same day. Caregivers do it. The unpaid ones. Why? Because today, caregiving encompasses being a nurse, a health advocate, a legal representative, a physical therapist, a bath aide, an occupational therapist, a home remodeler, a housekeeper, a chauffeur, an appointment setter, a secretary, a laundress, a gardener, a librarian, a bookkeeper, a chef, a nutritionist, a therapist, and much, much more when you are the unpaid caregiver. Being that caregiver to our parents or our spouse or even an ill or disabled child can create imposter syndrome that manifests in stress, depression, and anxiety, leading to chronic caregiver fatigue. I know this all too well, and the only way to combat this is to allow room to grow by learning about both yourself and the person you are caring for, and by seeking solutions and/or resources in order to mitigate the initial crisis and to create life balance for your future and your loved one. To combat the theory of elasticity and imposter syndrome as it relates to caregiving, I recommend The Psychology of Carol S. Dweck in her book, Mindset. In this work, Dr. Dweck explores two opposite mindsets. One mindset is of abundance and growth, and the other is a fixed scarcity mindset, suggesting we have limited aptitude and possibilities. The growth mindset suggests one can learn and grow into infinite possibilities. The mindset, and this mindset, is much more forgiving and loving towards oneself, allowing positive brain connections to occur to create new pathways, ideas, and understanding. I suggest we all, when in the situation of caregiving, embrace this mindset. And what can caregivers do to stay in that positive frame of mind, to allow growth and learning to occur within oneself, and to be able to embrace the person in front of you? Well, here are the 5 steps that I've taken myself to maintain a positive frame of mind when caregiving. Number 1, make time for you to feel like you. Make time for you to feel like yourself. Try your best to keep up your hobbies. You just might have to modify it. For me, I love to sing. I don't just like it. I love it. So I found an outlet to do so. It wasn't a 2-hour choir rehearsal or singing at church every Sunday for 2 hours like I was used to, but I could meet friends for an hour and sing some karaoke. So if you like reading or facials or bubble baths or walks in the park or working on cars or collecting antiques, shopping, sports, or making cards, whatever your fancy, or if you're like me and you like all the above, just reimagine it and incorporate happiness into your life and routine. Your life doesn't become on hold just because you want to give to someone else. You have to give to yourself, and your brain and everyone around you will thank you for doing it. Number 2, and part of this, well, actually, it just goes on from there, and that is to embrace the lifelong learner inside of you. So realize that no one on this earth can possibly know everything and also know it on command. We're not Siri. We're not a robot. We're not an AI or technology. We are people. So walk and speak, and we had to learn it, to do it, to be able to walk and speak. Don't be so hard on yourself. I had to learn that, not to expect so much out of myself. It was like I was in a race just with me. Trust your higher power and reel in the amazing and multi-talented person that you are becoming. You might discover something new. And every day you may want to journal or have a conversation about what you've learned. Reflecting on that today, next week, a year from now, will give you the shot of dopamine you'll need and prove you are growing as a person. Some call this a gratitude journal, but I call it magic. So keep a magic journal so you can know the magic is within you. Number two, reach out to your community and seek support. Our ego and fear of judgment keep us from asking questions about seeking help. I do know this to be true for myself. It is the information that you're looking for it could help you or someone else. You need to ask questions. You need to be curious. No one ever faulted another person for their curiosity, so ask questions. For example, when I spoke to a healthcare professional about my mom and her journey, when her health declined, I had a list of questions ready for those appointments. And I had her recent records and a full list of her medications. And I was ready to say, in quotes, explain that again, as if you're speaking to a fifth grader. Now, I'm not a fifth grader. I have two master's degrees, but that doesn't mean that I know everything that's going on in the medical field or with my mom. So my master's degrees didn't matter when it came to getting the information and options that would help my mom. I was just Diney. I was just her daughter. I was her caregiver. I loved her, and out of love, I asked the questions. Ask out of love and gain the support. Don't ever leave a conversation kicking yourself for not getting clarity. This rule goes when dealing with health professionals as well as the supporting medical community at large. Remember, that medical community, they are daughters and sons and wives and husbands, and they have a family too. They will probably ask the same questions. They just might be, at the moment or later, part of that 53 million that will be the unpaid caregivers that we see today. There are many organizations that exist for the sole purpose of helping people like you and those you love. So, we go on to number three, connect with whom you're caring for. You may think you know a person, especially if it is your own mom, just as it was in my case. I thought I had heard all of her stories, but the time spent together can unveil a secret or a gift to rediscover your loved one's favorite memories and life experiences. Storytelling is a wonderful way for both the caregiver and person receiving care to connect. It's a great brain activity. And you may hear something added to the story that changes the version you heard. I discovered that my mom first saw my dad on a street corner, pointed to him from a bus window in Southern California, and proclaimed to her sorority sister, in quotes, "That's the kind I want right there." Their love at first sight story was not at all the version I had grown up with. The version I had grown up with is that he came over to the apartment that she was living in because he was a friend of the groom that her roommate was going to marry. And later, they all went on a ski trip and they talked and talked and talked and fell in love there. Boy, was I wrong. It was love at first sight from my mother. So these revelations that you find when you share these stories can deepen your relationships, build trust, breed understanding, and allow our synapses of our brains to positively charge. Get curious and ask some questions. Start with who, what, where, why, when, how, and just keep being curious. Your family history might just get rewritten like mine was. Number four, share what works for you. If you have a tip or a tried and true resource that makes your life or the life of the person you're caring for better, it's time to share, America. Share it with your family, your community, the groups that you're involved in. share on social media, and please share it with me, because it is up to all of us to release the information that's going to help everyone. Opening the conversation about how to be the best caregiver is empowering and could positively affect 50 million lives plus the lives they serve. Number 5, review the finances and all the insurance. Of course, I'm going to give you this advice because I have been in the insurance field for over 25 years, and I've seen a lot, and I've seen a way, especially with my own family, where there are easy tasks to accomplish when it comes to finances and your insurance. When you work with someone you know, like, and trust, again, be curious. Ask questions like, in quotes, "Is this what your loved one would want? Is this what you would suggest?" And put them in your shoes. Explain your situation and listen to the answer. Don't listen with the intent to talk. Listen with the intent to gain wisdom. So work with someone who is unbiased and licensed in your state. Check with your Department of Insurance. Make sure they're licensed. Choose a professional who knows you are important. You're the one the conversation should be revolving around. And that this person, this professional, is motivated to make everyone's lives better through their knowledge and interaction and communication, and they are driven by character to make your life, build a legacy, and also have everything that you desire right now, to honor the life that you've built. In conclusion, what's the driving force for these actions to create better caregivers? It is the willingness to be vulnerable, because it leads us to the universal language of love. If the 50 million Americans caregiving for a family member got that dose of love consistently, what a difference the mental health of our country would experience. Be the change. Grow beyond measure. Love more than love more deeply. Honor yourself and honor your family. You will be a caregiver. Maybe unpaid. It is the greatest honor I've ever had. So hold your head up high and hold the hand of your loved one, because someday you will want the same from the caregiver who holds your hand.